Let's turn in our Bibles, or as some would say, our copy of God's Word, to that first Psalm. Psalm 1. Here we are. 20 days into 2019. Have we heard the last of the Happy New Year greetings? Have any of us made resolutions that 2019 will be a year of more happiness than 2018? I mean, where are we when it comes to the question of happiness? Are we a happy people? Are we known for our happiness? I settled on the first Psalm because for ages, well, ages, I'm not that old, but from the time I began singing the Psalms in about 1965, blessed, 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 blessed is the man. Blessed, blessed, blessed is the man. And I can remember time and time again thinking in terms of blessed. What it's like to enjoy God's divine favor, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be blessed by Him. And then have seen this psalm as a psalm of what it is to be blessed of the Lord. And I can remember when I looked at Matthew 5 as I was preaching once through Matthew, that those Beatitudes, some would say happy, And as I would every now and then look at other people talking about someone, they would say happy, and I'd scratch my head and say, well, now happiness comes about the way I respond to my circumstances in life. And I really didn't like the idea of happy. It sounds really too mundane. It sounds really too earthy. Well, I picked this psalm because I had to repent. I think that we need to understand that Psalm 1 is a psalm that begins happy. If we really want happiness, then this psalm tells us what it is that would make us happy. So as we look at this psalm and we hear it read, I haven't asked permission, but may we read it in unison tonight? If you have a copy of New King James, may we read the first psalm in unison? And may we read happy instead of blessed. Now, understand, we have a Hebrew scholar with us. And Esser? That's right. I remember that now that you said it. Asher. It's happy. I think it's 20-some times in the Psalms it's happy. When Esther, in I think it's 1 Kings 10:8, comes and sees what the servants are like towards Solomon, they're happy people, she says. Okay. You've indulged me long enough. Let's read together those six verses of the first psalm. And may we say, happy. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray together. Father, be pleased as we look at this very familiar psalm to help us to appreciate what it is that you are saying to us about what it is to be happy. And more than that, what this psalm does have to say to us today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, in a sense, need to be seen together. Psalm 1 is that foundation, in a sense, that moves us into Psalm 2. And there are those who would say that Psalm 1 and 2 are really one psalm in the original. And it shouldn't surprise us because it begins, "Asher is the man," and it ends there at Psalm 2, "Asher are all those." Asher the man, Asher all those. And so the bookend of 1 and 2, perhaps they were indeed one psalm. But Derek Kindred says about this psalm, "It seems like Psalm 1 was specifically composed as an introduction to the whole Psalter. Certainly it stands here as a faithful doorkeeper confronting those who would be in the congregation of the righteous," verse 5, "with the basic choice that alone gives reality to worship, with the divine truth," verse 2, "that must inform it, and with the ultimate judgment," verses 5 and 6, "that looms up beyond it." This reminds us, doesn't it, of the book of Proverbs, which constantly sets before the reader the two ways of living and the company that one keeps along the way. The one who walks wisely is the one who walks according to the law. Perhaps Jeremiah is drawing on this psalm as he writes Jeremiah 17 and verses 5 through 8. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." And it shouldn't surprise us that Jeremiah would draw upon a psalm, because we know the scriptures after the psalms have been written draw upon the psalms abundantly. Most New Testament writers find in the psalms much of what helps them appreciate the covenant-keeping, faithful God of the universe. And so it doesn't surprise us that Martin Luther would speak about the Psalms as the little Bible. But really, if you heard Paul Martin ever say it, the Psalms take us from creation to consummation. The Psalms are indeed that little Bible. And it does start, doesn't it, appropriately setting before us the two choices that we have to make in life. Are we going to live according to the seed of the serpent, or are we going to live according to the seed of the woman? So my question this evening is simply this. If you made happiness for 2019, what will ensure that 2019 will be a year of happiness? Really, the question is, will we be happy according to Psalm 1? Will we be happy according to Psalm 1? We recognize the contrast being made in the psalm between the happy and the unhappy. What? Of the man? Of the person? If you're like I am, when we've read this psalm, I've thought about the person. I, the person, will indeed be blessed, no, will be happy if I live on the positive side of the contrast and not the negative side of the contrast. And that's what the psalm sets before us, isn't it? The happy person is contrasted with the unhappy person. And there's not a whole lot that, you know, that really is needing of deep explanation. We find that our lives are given to thinking. Our lives are then given to behavior. And their lives are then given over to sort of residential living. I'm counseled in my mind. I think of things. And then I began to stand around according to that counsel, according to what I begin to behave according to the counsel, the thinking, what goes on in my mind. And as I meditate, as I think about things and begin to behave that way, pretty soon patterns are established in my life and I'm sort of set in my ways. And so some have talked about thinking, behaving, and residing. And when you stop and think about it, that's a pretty accurate description of our lives. As I think, therefore I am. And the more I think and the more I am resolute to stay in that particular setting. Now, the negative, right? The happy Christian, we would ultimately say, is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or the New King James translates this wicked every other place till it gets to the Psalms. The wicked, the guilty, the ones who are breaking God's word. We don't want to be in the council of those kinds of people who have a disdain for the Bible. And of course, beyond that, we don't want to have our behavior similar to the behavior of sinners. I mean, we know what the Bible says about God's attitude towards sinners. Those who make it a habit of sinning, pick the sin. And we certainly don't want to reside with the scornful, do we? We don't want to be like the chaff which the wind drives away. We don't want to be like the ungodly who certainly will not stand in the day of judgment. Do we enjoy sitting in the congregation of the righteous? You see, because those who are not happy are those who are not going to find themselves welcomed among the happy. Isn't that what he says? Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We don't expect people who are habitual in sin to want to be in the congregation of those who are righteous. Why? Well, you know, we're so judgmental. Because we don't live the way they live. We don't accept their lifestyle. Therefore, they don't feel comfortable about the lifestyle of the righteous. It's oil and water. So to expect the unhappy to come amongst the happy, well, is it a realistic expectation? But what is it that then truly makes us happy? Well, you see what it says. His delight. What is it that brings the greatest delight to our lives? What is it that we find the most satisfaction and pleasure in? Oh, how I love your law! And what does Jesus say? He who has my commandments and keeps them. It's one thing to have them. It's another thing to keep them. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who what? Is long-faced, grumbles, complains. No. Loves me. Do we love Jesus? Is our heart set in affection upon Jesus? Then we love his law. That's exactly what the psalm says. But his delight. It's kind of like I go to the Adams and I delight in the fact that John's pretty good at having rum raisin ice cream there for me. That's a delight. I really... But that needs to pale when it comes to delight for the law of the Lord. And it's Yahweh's law. Did you catch that? How does he begin the 10 words? I am Yahweh. Who what? Who saved you? I'm Yahweh. I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who brought you out of bondage. I'm your Savior. I saved you from that life of commitment to the father of lies. I've saved you from that life of enslavement to sin. I've saved you from that life of enslavement to yourself. I've saved you. I've set you free. Do you love me? Then don't have other gods before me. Just don't do it. We say before God and these witnesses, till death do us part, regardless, I love you. I do. And then we give ourselves to each other in that holy bond of marriage. And begin to understand ourselves so much better as we begin to be sanctified by the spouse that God has given us. Because if we really love them, him or her, what do? We really begin to understand what turns them on and turns them off. We really begin to understand what makes them delight in me and I in her. How we delight in the law of God. So much that we meditate on it day and night. And then we find that we're planted like a tree by rivers of water. And here these rivers of water are those irrigation canals that the farmer puts into the land so that he can take his tree and he can put that tree by that water that's the source of life for that tree, and he can plant it there. It can reside there. And as it resides there, it stands there. And as it stands there, it begins to bear fruit. And we know what fruit bearings are like according to Jesus in the Great Commission, don't we? As you are what? As you are going through life, disciple the nations. As you're walking Monday through Saturday, disciple the nations. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're salt and light for Jesus Christ. As we live our lives, we are these trees, you see. We look like trees walking. John was, Kathy and I were talking about this morning, and there's kind of a chiasm there. You know, you go from A, B, C to C, B, A. You go from walking to standing to planted. You go from planting to standing to bearing fruit, walking. And anytime we come at chiasms, what are we supposed to say? That's Christ. And not so, you see, we've already mentioned the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. They're not happy. Oh, they think they're happy. They think they're happy like everyone in the world who has as their national anthem, if you please, that song of, I think, the 60s, 1960s. I did it my way. That's the song of the flesh. That's not the song of the happy person. Oh, it's the song of the happy worldly person. I'll do it my way. And therein I'll find happiness. Not so for those who are happy according to the scriptures. But there's something there at the end of that third verse. Do you see that last line in the third verse? Let's read it together. And whatever he does shall prosper. Now let me ask you this question. If you understand yourself to be identified by the marks of the happy person according to Psalm 1, if you would say that's a description of who I am because I'm blessed of God, does everything you do prosper? I think you're all like I am. That's a hearty no. So at the end of this day, and in the proverbial end of the day, is this psalm about the persons? Is this psalm fundamentally trying to make a distinction between those of us who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ? Is that the end of what this psalm is all about? I hope you understand it's not. The heart of this psalm is our Jesus. This is our Jesus. For the joy set before our Jesus. And it's the Jesus of this psalm that brings us happiness. That brings us joy inexpressible. And so when we come to the Psalms, we don't come to the Psalms primarily to try to understand what it's like to be a faithful Israelite. And as long as I meet what the Psalm says about a faithful Israelite, I'm in. No, it's a Psalm that tells us about our Jesus. You see, we're on that road to Emmaus. And Jesus is taking Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and he says, here I am. Please listen to me. Here I am. Please see me. Here I am. Come to a greater appreciation for who I am as the incarnate Son of God, flesh and blood as you, every one of you, are. So that you really can begin to understand how I can be that perfect mediator who can go before the Father and intercede for you because I know what it's like to live in the flesh. And I know what it's like to have the word of my Father as my sole delight. Why would I turn the stone into bread when I can eat my dad's word and be satisfied? You see our Jesus? And can you identify yourself, therefore, in this psalm because you are in Jesus? And you see, as we live in Jesus, we take on his characteristics that are so adequately describing him in this psalm. His words become our words. His life becomes our life. To simply sing them as veiled Israelites is not to sing them as God wanted them sung. They're sung only accurately in Jesus. Because here we have the character and the soul of God incarnate. And we enter into his life in the singing of them because he entered into our life and sang them. Because these are the red letters of the Bible, the words of Christ. Happy is Jesus, for he walked not in the counsel of the wicked. Turn the stones to bread. Jump off the pinnacle. I'll quote the Bible of the temple. Bow down and worship. Now, Jesus knew what it was to be happy. And we who are in Jesus know what it is to be happy. Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this doorkeeper to the book of Psalms. That you start us off with the man, the Son of Man, Emmanuel, Jesus, the door, the shepherd, master, friend, King of kings, Lord of lords, slain lamb. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And may we truly find happiness in you. And may that union that we have with you be evident as we gather for worship and as we go forth into the world. May we be happy, peculiar people, possessed by God. A holy nation. Oh, Father, help us to live Jesus. And we recognize that when we do, there may indeed be sinners who will be attracted to us. And there will be Pharisees who don't like us. There will be those in authority who will want to kill us. But thank you. Thank you that you've made us new. And it's not our will that we want done in our lives, but it's yours. And it's only in the doing of your will that we know real happiness. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.